Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, we studied last Sunday how John the Baptist was willing to give his life in submission and obedience, resulting in a life of self-denial. We wondered how this wild man gathered an audience. I mean, his message was a protest to the lives that people were living. In fact, he began by calling them a brood of vipers. The offspring of snakes. Not exactly the way to win friends and influence people. Not a politically correct statement. But he persisted. Most of us would say that starting out with an insult is a thing that is really destined to have poor results. It can even be counterproductive. But he didn't care. In fact, many who preach today will say anything. They'll do anything to win the applause of people. They want people to like them. John the Baptist didn't care about that. He was more interested in pleasing God than he was man. He felt as though all of his authority, all of his courage, all of his ability, everything he had and everything he was, came from God. And it was all to him that he owed. He wanted the people to turn their backs on their roots and pay attention to their fruits. John saw things as they were, and he called them as they were. He was quite a character. His boldness and his motivation, he felt, came from God. And that was shown in his eye when he looked at the crowds. And that was heard in his voice as he called out a man crying in the wilderness, proclaiming the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Let's go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you have come to us, that you sent your only begotten Son to us while we were still your enemies, that you came to bring peace amid all the conflict in our lives, that it was your desire that we feel the love that you have for us by the one that you sent to us. And he loved us so much, he laid down his life for us. Father, we thank you and praise you that you have come to us today. We ask that we would do everything that pleases you, that we would not be men pleasers. We don't care how we're dressed or anything else, but we care more about you than anything else in this world. May we put everything else aside. And Father, we ask that you speak to us, not me, because my words are just the words of a fallen man. They are words they can't help. But yours are the words of life and death. And they're the ones that we long for. They're the ones that we hunger for. So speak to us each in our own language today, Father. May we truly know that you are here with us, as you promised, and that you have sent to us a wonderful gift which we celebrate today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look with me into the Gospel of John, starting with verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This is He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me.' And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, our Lord." John the Baptist was a man that Jesus said was the greatest man ever born of woman. I want you to think about that a minute. Think about the greatest man ever born of woman. Who is that man? Would you say that Zorba the Greek was that man? Would you say Alexander the Great was that man? Would you say that Billy Joe was that guy? Would you say that George Washington is that guy? Who was that guy who actually stirs you up? Who was the man that was born in this world who had call on all of our hearts? Jesus said that John the Baptist was that greatest man ever born of woman. But He also said that whosoever believes in Him, in Jesus, was greater in the kingdom of God than was John the Baptist. In other words, any man born of woman and not divinely born was not as great as those who had that seed of eternal life in them. If you're one of those to whom the promise has come and you've received it, you're indeed blessed. John knew that God wanted him to call the people to repentance, to make straight the way of the Lord into their lives. But he knew his message was not the final message. Jesus would bring the final message, and only He could bring it. John knew that. John knew his limitations. You know, sometimes we don't agree that we have limitations. We say, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me," and that raises a certain pride that we can. No, we can through Christ who strengthens us. It's not about us. It's all about Him. The gift we've received and we celebrate this season. John the Baptist started his quest by pursuing his hunger for God. He left everything behind. Because he hungered God, he was focused on God. He wanted God and God alone. Many of us have gone our own way. We've pursued other things. But he pursued God totally. It was his total desire. You know, that's where all of us should be. He wanted more of God. If we want more of God, it follows we want less of the world. What this world does doesn't affect us in our eternal lives. It affects us today, but we have to see beyond today. We have to see into the future as Christ gave us the desire. And Christ gives us the wisdom to look into the future, to see those things that are not as though they were. I know that we can be frustrated. We can be so frustrated because at Christmas time we don't have everything we have anticipated. We've created a kind of a false picture of who we were and what we have. But God gives us the directive to be content with what you have. That He is the one who brings peace to our troubled souls. And that is what we should all do. We should all be satisfied not with the status quo of our life, but with the gift that God has given us. Our personal journey back to God requires an attitude adjustment. We have to repent, John tells us. Jesus said, yes, you do. You have to realize who you are, and first, that means doing a survey of your own heart. Am I really a Christian? Do I really belong to Jesus? 100%. Are there areas in my life that I hold back just for me? Perhaps you hold back your anger just for you. Or you hold back a temptation just for you. Or you hold back some fleshly pleasure just for you. It becomes about you and not about Christ. And Jesus told us that He would have all of us or none of us. And so we have to be sold out like John was. We need to know that. You know, if we are truly sold out to God, then we'll turn our backs on our sinful practices. We'll turn our backs on them. That was yesterday. We had a friend, Sandra and I, and I won't mention her name here because we're on television. But that's the only reason I won't mention her name. But she had a wonderful saying. She sounded like Zsa Zsa Gabor. And she said, I turned the page on that. You know, it was really great. She turned the page on it. It was like reading a book and you turn the page and you forget about what was there before. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You need to turn the page on your past life. Not allow it to continue to have an effect on you today. You are a new creature, not an old creature. John wanted you to know that you could do that. If we don't do that, what happens? Well, it's first of all very doubtful that if you try to be a double-minded person that you'll ever follow Jesus into heaven. It's more likely that you'll follow the devil into hell. And so what do we do? Because we have knowledge of what these decisions do in our lives. In our lives today, in our lives eternally. What do we do? Do we follow Jesus toward heaven, or do we follow our own path, the broad path that leads away from Jesus into eternal separation from Him? You know, it's not very difficult to find that there are lots of examples in this world of what I'm trying to say. My cardiologist tells me that if I continue to eat fatty, sugar-laden foods, I will have heart disease, diabetes, lack of energy, I'll age prematurely. I've already done that. My wife said I looked a little windswept today. Well, that's true, I do. Those are the things that we can count on if you continue to live that life. If I continue to eat all the fat, my father died of a heart attack in my arms. He loved the marrow in the middle of the bone of the steak. He would fight you for it. He fought me for it because I liked it too. But there are things I have to turn my back on in order to go forward. If I don't believe in diet and exercise, I am destined to lose my mobility and my ability to do what God has called me to do. And in that same way, if you do not turn your back on the sin that enslaves you, how are you going to embrace the Savior who has no sin and a holy God that doesn't allow sin in His presence? We cling to the pleasures of this world. We're clinging to something that's false. I knew a guy who said he didn't believe in the rapture, but if the rapture were true, if people were caught up in the air with Christ, he said, I'll be there with limbs and things in my hands trying to hold me down. What he was saying was that he wanted to stay on this earth more than he wanted God. Why could you say that? How would you know that? So knowing what we know, what are we to do? Are we to go to those people who do not believe and tell them the truth? What is our responsibility? Do we travel by a burning house and feel like screaming, fire, fire, but we don't because we're afraid we'll wake somebody and have to explain to the police why we were disturbing the peace? Are we so politically correct that we can't do what God calls us to do? John the Baptist wasn't like that. He didn't care what he looked like. He wore camel hair, for goodness sakes. He had a long beard that would be the envy of those guys on Duck Commander. I mean, he was not Charlton Heston. He wasn't. He was a little Jewish guy who had given everything up, and everybody knew it because he was authentic. We need to be like him. We need to be willing to cry, make straight the way to the Lord, repent, not out of anger, not out of judgmentalism, but out of love for those who are around us who are living lives of quiet desperation, living lives that are doomed to failure. If you believe that this Bible is true, then there is a choice that every individual must make. Are we the people that help to make that decision? Do we cry out boldly, Jesus is here? Jesus has come. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming again. Are we people who are so politically correct that we keep our mouths shut and we sit on our hands? Most of you sit on your hands. I don't see any amens. Oh, there's one. Good. There was a hand that went in the air, too. It was my wife's, but she meant to throw something at me. But you see, if we're really sold out to God, we'll not count the cost. We'll pay any price to do what God wants us to do. You know, today we hear of all kinds of voices telling us what the birth of Jesus really means. I always kind of go into my cocoon when I begin to hear people say, well, this is what Jesus really meant. Oh, gosh. Because they always have an agenda. And I seem to feel like, well, you know, the whole society is going to hell in a handbasket. But, you know, this has happened before. It happened once long ago in England in the 1600s. Christmas, before the Christmas carols were ever written, long before that, this is a time in which Christmas was celebrated by Christians, but it was also celebrated by pagans. And it had become such a rowdy kind of exercise, depraved sexually, all kinds of things went on, rioting went on. You know, it was horrible. And people who were righteous people who were faithful people, decent people, had to hide indoors for fear of being caught up in and destroyed by some of the violence and other things that went on at Christmas. Even now today, we see that same thing happening at our malls. You see people that put out signs that say, hey, look, you know, and the police towers go up. Have you seen those? And all kinds of things happen because they're afraid that someone will steal what you've just purchased at the mall. That they'll steal your life for trash, that they'll take away your presents that you meant for your loved one, that they'll disturb you in some way. Maybe they'll even steal your child. And so these things have happened before. It got so bad in England that in 1644, the English Parliament actually passed a very strict law that you could not celebrate this season of Christmas at all in any way. Because they could not see Christ in Christmas. Maybe your Christmas is like that now. You're having trouble seeing Christ in Christmas. Because everything's coming around, all the things that of this world are coming against you, you feel the pressures of the season. You feel bruised because you're in crowds of people trying to all purchase the same toy or the same gift for someone. You hear all kinds of voices that depress you because the voices tell you, well, you can't afford to spend that much money, or you're giving too much, or whatever. It just is a downer. And all of us have experienced that to some degree. Because Christmas has become a very materialistic kind of marketing tool. Second only to Christmas is Halloween in terms of marketing. In our neighborhood, which is beautiful now because all the lights are up and people are decorating their homes for Christmas, those same homes sometimes decorated themselves for Halloween. It is not the same, and yet we try to make it the same. We haven't got hold of Christ in Christmas. Joy came into the world with Jesus. A joy that is beyond our comprehension. A gift that is opened, and when it is opened, gives us eternal life. What kind of gift is that? That is a gift that only God could give to people He loved. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave us what? He gave us Jesus, His own Son, that we might have eternal life. What a gift. What a gift. And we need to tell people about that. But that's a joy that allows us to view Jesus and His joy that He gives, no matter what the circumstances are. More people die at this time of year than any other time of year. Man, I have a theory that's long been in my mind that the reason that people die in nursing homes and every place else is because they feel so isolated and they give up. They give up. Their brains just simply say, no, I'm going to die. And they have what they say. The Bible says you have what you say. And so when I come along and Elton asks me how I am, I always say, peachy keen. As a matter of fact, if I don't, he gets on me. Because I cannot admit, even, and there he is standing in the window, and I cannot admit for a moment any kind of negativity, because if I do, I'm called into account. All of us need to be like that. All of us need to be drawn into account because of the way we present ourselves as Christians. In verse 26, it says this, and John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there is one who stands among you whom you do not know. Jesus is the one that stands among us that we don't even know. He is the central part of Christmas. He is the reason for the season, and yet we deny Him. John the Baptist was hungry for God. Are you hungry for God? Do you really want God and everything He gives, which includes His most beautiful gift, His only begotten Son? Our lives are to give evidence that He lives in us and that He's transformed us. What better time to do it than at Christmas time when there are so many people depressed? They're depressed because they cannot reach the esteemed kind of movie, kind of irrationality of a Christmas with no pain and no problems. I want you to know that Jesus is so real that in the midst of your problems, He is there with you. He said, cast your cares on me. He said, I'll carry you through. I'll be there to lift you up when you fall down. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is one who sticks closer than a brother. And so we can do all kinds of things and decorate our homes and fill our homes with the right kind of smells that our memory system goes back and kind of goes, oh yeah, I smelt that when I was a child and those were happier days and all that kind of stuff. We can do that, but we couldn't ever miss the central reason that we celebrate, because God has given us His Son. There is a poem written by an anonymous writer. I want to read to you. He says, 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house not a creature was praying, not one in the house. The Bibles were laid on the shelf without care, in the hopes that Jesus would not come in there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter.
Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw up the sash, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he said. And though I possess worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name when he said, "It's not here." My head hung in shame. The people whose names were written with love he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready he rose without sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight, "Oh, if I had only been ready tonight." In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is soon drawing near. There's only one life when the call comes, the last call. We'll find that the Bible was true after all. John the Baptist is a model for each of us. He abandoned everything for Christ. And so should we. Will you do that today? Jesus is here. He said, "Wherever there are two or three of you gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you." He's here. He's monitoring your hearts. He's monitoring your thoughts. He's here. Do you repent? He already knows everything you've ever done. Do you repent? Do you receive the forgiveness for your sins? Are you ready for the judgment? What if Jesus comes now? What if he comes this very day? Are you ready? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life by the love that drew the blood from our Savior's veins? Are you covered? Or when you do a survey of yourself, is there a room in your life that you've never surrendered to God? Remember, I said that John the Baptist was known for his submission, his surrender, and his obedience to God. Is there a part of you that hasn't surrendered and therefore you will not be obedient to answer the still small voice that calls you in the midst of your heart? This can be the most wonderful Christmas you've ever had. All you have to do is receive the gift of light that he gave.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.